listen. Waiting for that train. Take me. Take me away. Promise. Alongside.
Oh yeah, Jimmy, all week we are waiting for the train. It's a metaphor for American communities waiting for possibly radical new infrastructure like light rail systems, mixed-use residential developments using green technology, and taking advantage of new live-work technologies. Our laboratory this week is Denver, Colorado, where a group of urban planners and architects is gathering to debate some tough questions about how Americans live. Today, a look at the suburbs. We want to ask you about the suburbs. What do you think? A lot of dark imagery of the suburbs in our time. Do you think the suburbs are a dream or a nightmare way to live? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. In the Denver metro area, the challenge of changing the suburbs is particularly challenging. Our friend Ellen Dunham is the director of the architecture program at Georgia Institute of Technology and the co-author of Retrofitting Suburbia, Urban Design Solutions for Redesigning Suburbs. She's in Denver with the New Urbanists this week and thinks that the city has a lot to teach about how suburbia and downtown might actually get closer.
Denver is doing a lot of really great things, in fact. And most significantly, back in 2004, the voters approved one of the largest light rail and bus rapid transit packages in the country, and they are extending transit out into the suburbs.
Now, how is that going to change the lives of people who are used to getting on the highway and increasingly sitting in traffic for hours at a time?
It's certainly going to give them a lot more options. And what we're seeing is a lot of people are really interested in that. We're seeing them spending more time doing all of the great things you can do in Denver, like get out into nature, because they're not spending so much time stuck in traffic.
But if rail connects suburbs to each other, there's less of a need for parking lots. There's probably less of a need for all of these strip malls and big box shopping centers. What do you do with those kinds of facilities and all that acreage?
Well, we've been tracking around the country, seeing what developers like to refer to as underperforming asphalt, just like the examples you described. There is increasingly a desire for more and more people to live closer in. We've seen gas prices spike, and they're probably going to continue to go up again. And more people want to live in a suburban location where their jobs are, where their kids' schools are, but they want to live a more urban lifestyle. And so redevelopment of these former surface parking lots sites into more urban, multi-story, mixed-use places is happening all over the country, and especially in Denver.
Now, I've seen some retrofitting, which looks a little bit scary in some communities around the country, where you have something that used to be maybe a Penny's turned into something that's maybe more like a Goodwill flea market. But you're talking about something much more specific called smart growth, which urbanizes suburbs and makes them more centralized with all kinds of services. How do you do that, and how do you make those communities attractive?
Well, we've seen so many different examples of how people do it. Certainly, one of the real keys to getting increased density is getting a mix of uses so that people don't have to get out in their cars. I mean, suburbia has been planned very much on your single-family housing is over here of one-acre lots. Your two-acre lots are over there. Your shopping is in another place. And when we start to redevelop dead malls, dead office parks into mixed-use places, we start to see about 25, sometimes even as much as 45% of the trips that those people take are now walking or on transit or on bike. They're staying in their neighborhoods. And if they can get transit, then we're seeing even more of those trips, people not getting in cars.
Ethnically and demographically, and I guess in terms of income, et cetera, who's moving to communities like this?
We're seeing a huge change in suburban demographics. The boomers are interested in, a lot of them, as they retire, they want to stay in the same community, but they want to be in more inclusive environments where they can walk to things, get engaged in a lot of activities. And they're very interested in more urban places, as are the young professionals who increasingly are finding that their jobs are in suburbia, but they want some nightlife. They want some action. They really aren't looking for a single-family home quite yet.
What community does this smart growth strategy really well, and what are some examples?
Well, D.C. has done a great job of extending their metro rail system out into the suburbs, and whether it's projects like Rockville Town Center, University Town Center, Twinbrook Commons, there's a whole lot of projects in D.C. that one can look at. And Denver is following suit in many respects with projects like Bel Mar and Englewood. Denver, more than half of its malls have been or have announced plans to retrofit and become more urban.
Is the driver of this development public money or private money? Does the public money have to precede the private? How does it work?
It's always a partnership, but there are very different ways. Sometimes the owner of a property themselves wants to go in and seize the opportunity for greater density on the site. Transit coming to an area often triggers private property owners to get involved. But other times, the city is often left owning a dead mall after the original owners have defaulted on taxes, and so sometimes it's public-led as well.
So how's this go viral? Is it a word-of-mouth kind of thing where people see communities that they like and want them replicated, or is it a group of political leaders that's going to really create the momentum to move forward on things like transit and the infrastructure to make these communities possible? And do you see those leaders out there?
I think certainly the Congress for the New Urbanism has been a great think tank at advancing a lot of these ideas. But it's also true that people have been going to these places. And sometimes, I mean, a lot of the retrofits, people do still drive to them to then get an idea of what it's like. But then they begin to imagine, gee, I actually would like to live in a place like this. I watched my own dad, who's always been a Mr. I want the big home, the big car, and the big on the big lot, came to visit me at one point down at a new urbanist village called Seaside in Florida. And suddenly my dad thought, wow, this is such a great place.
Wow. Right?
And he would never have considered it without just visiting.
Well, as usual, it is fascinating and really exciting to imagine the future with you once again. Ellen Dunham-Jones, she's the director of the architecture program at Georgia Tech and co-author of the book Retrofitting Suburbia, Urban Design Solutions for Redesigning the Suburbs. So new urbanists have a future, huh?
I think so.
Thanks, Ellen.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.